Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning. No Mary Jo this morning because she's on vacation. But we have John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal sitting in, as he did yesterday. We appreciate you being here, John. Good morning.
Good morning. Love being here anytime.
Did you watch A.J. Reed last night? Did you get a chance?
I did not. My MLB TV package is Cubs only, so I did not get to see that.
Oh, I didn't even realize you could do that.
Yeah, it's a new thing they did this year.
You can customize it to where you just get the Cubs.
Yeah, cheaper.
How much cheaper is that?
It's like $30 probably cheaper than the regular one is.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's for MLB.tv.
It is
like $100, I think.
Right, yeah. I think it's about 80 something for a single team package, so it's a little bit cheaper.
Yeah. So I got it for $100 on MLB.tv, and you can watch it on any device. And if you want to watch it on TV and you have an Apple TV, it's that simple. Like before Apple TV was described to me in a way I could understand it, I just didn't know anything about that. And I think a lot of people are out there that don't really understand what Apple TV is, but it's a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get on my PlayStation and Kindle Fire, and you can get it on your phone. It's amazing how the world works these days. It's just anywhere you want it, at the tip of your finger.
Especially with the Watch ESPN app. That's why I have Apple TV. Watch ESPN and MLB.tv. Those two things. So you can watch UK baseball games. So many of them are on the Watch ESPN app, or the SEC Network Plus is what it's called. And you just go onto that Apple TV and click it, and it's on your regular TV, like it's cable or something, or satellite. But anyway, I watched AJ play last night, and he had a good game. He didn't get a hit, which you would think, well, that's not a very good game. Well, yeah, it was, because he walked in his first at-bat and wound up scoring in his second at-bat, which came in the same inning, because he came up in the second inning, and after he walked, good grief, the Astros just, they batted around, 11 guys went to the plate that inning, and he wound up coming up a second time, and he made the final out of the inning. He gave it a ride. I thought he had a shot to knock it out of the park in his second at bat. Because earlier in the inning, Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa went yard. They went back-to-back on Chris Young. They were rocking him. And those two balls went out. Here comes AJ, puts something into it, gives it a ride to right field, and it just dies out there. So that was it. So then the third time he came to the plate, there's runners on the corners, one out, and he pops it to left. It was deep enough, though, a fly ball, deep enough to score the runner from third, so he got an RBI. And so he got his first RBI, and then it was very cool. Salvador Perez, the catcher for the Kansas City Royals, asked for the ball so that it wouldn't be played, go back into play so they could roll it over to the Astros dugout, and AJ could keep the ball that he got his first major league RBI on. So then his third at-bat, he walked again, drew another walk, and then he scored again on that. And then he came up again in the ninth inning, and I think he flew out again. Yeah, flew out to left field. But one of those at-bats I failed to mention, the hit that he had to left, or the drive he had to left, one of them, it was a hit. It would have been a hit, and Gordon for Kansas City just ran it down. So actually that was his fourth at bat, maybe fourth plate appearance, and then the fifth one he came up in the ninth and got out. But still, 0-for-2 officially, with two walks, two runs, and a sac fly RBI.
Not bad.
No,
I mean it's not a first pitch home run like Wilson Contreras, but it's a nice start. It's a nice nice productive begin to your professional MLB career. Only go up from here. I'm sure he's it's nice to get the nerves out of the way. I'm sure he was feeling it on that first game in front of a big crowd. You know, you've always dreamed your entire life of making it to the major leagues, and he finally did that yesterday. So you've got that out of the way, and now you've got a few of those firsts out of the way. He can get his first hit here in the next couple of days, and then it's regular, just another day at the office from there.
Well, he is, hopefully he'll be in the lineup again today. He DH'd yesterday, but A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Astros, said that he would play him at first base quite a bit as well. Today, that series concludes between the Astros and Royals at 2:15 Eastern time. So then that'll be the next time A.J. gets a chance to get a hit. When you left here yesterday, a little bit of news came out of the Maryland area, which you were able to confirm.
Yeah, so Nick Mangione, the new UK baseball head coach, is starting to assemble his staff, and he went and hired a pitching coach yesterday, Maryland's pitching coach Jim Belanger, who was also their associate head coach. And if that name sounds familiar to local people, it's because he actually pitched at Louisville 2007-2008, was a starter on that 2007 College World Series team for Louisville. Wasn't a great pitcher in college by any means. I think he had, you know, an ERA over 4 for his career. He was a junior college transfer when he went there. But since then, he's had a really nice coaching career. He started as an undergraduate assistant at Louisville for a year, then went to Monmouth, where he was their pitching coach, and actually developed a first-round pick who just made it to the majors with the Red Sox in April. From Monmouth, he went to Maryland. He's been there for 4 years now, and I think in that time they've developed 10 or 11 starting pitchers or relief pitchers who have been drafted. And a couple of those guys are kind of nice prospects working their way up through the minor league. So from all indications, it's a really big hire. It'll be kind of weird to see anybody coaching the pitchers at Kentucky other than Gary Henderson, because even before Henderson was the head coach, he was John Cohen's pitching coach at Kentucky, and he kept those duties when he became the head man. So he's been coaching the pitchers at Kentucky since, I think, 2002 or 2003.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time since any pitcher at UK had somebody in their ear other than Gary Henderson, and it sounds like Jim Belanger is going to be that guy this fall.
John Hale from the Courier-Journal sitting in for Mary Jo Perino here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. And coming up at on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, coming up at 9:30, we have Jim Callis. He's the senior writer for MLB Pipeline.com and MLB.com. He's going to talk to us about A.J. Reed. He's kind of their, I guess, head of scouting or whatever, keeps up with all that stuff. He's going to join us at 9:30. But something else, a little sadder. Like yesterday, I mean, we started the show with sad news of, Herky Rupp passing, as well as Ralph Stanley, Bernie Worrell. But now it looks like Pat Summitt is in really bad shape. The former Tennessee Volunteers, Lady Volunteers head coach, the legend, Pat Summitt, in critical condition this morning. Reports our family is preparing for the worst, and it looks like the world could lose perhaps the greatest coach in the history of women's college basketball. Definitely, I mean, you think of Gino Auriemma, but I think before you ever thought of Gino Auriemma, you thought, I mean, of Tennessee basketball. I mean, women's basketball, what would it be without – someone else would have to be what Tennessee was to fill that void, because if you knew nothing of women's college basketball, you at least knew Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think without a doubt, the best women's basketball coach in the country. And then you got to – it's hard to compare the men's and women's games, but if you were going to do that, she's probably right up there with any college basketball coach, period. And, I mean, if not for her, you know, her disease and her illness over the last few years, I think she would have still been coaching for several more years than she was and would have continued to pile up the wins as she did. And so Gino will probably break her record eventually. I don't think he already has. But either way, I mean, without Pat Summitt, I mean, if you're on a Mount Rushmore of college coaches, period, I think you put Pat Summitt on it.
And, of course, the connections to Kentucky to Pat Summitt are big, with Matthew Mitchell was an assistant there, grad assistant. Of course, Nia Butts and Kyra Elzey, current UK assistants, played for Pat Summitt. So it's affecting the UK family as well. A lot of people with thoughts and prayers for Pat Summitt. And it's unfortunate that, you know, one of the last things, you know, to happen in her life was what just happened with her son, Tyler, down there at Louisiana Tech, I believe. Mm-hmm. But Amber Smith, also another assistant or another person on the UK basketball staff, was with Tyler Summitt down there.
And so, it's interesting. I think you wonder how history could have played out. But a few years ago, when Matthew came back and when Pat and Matthew were facing off for one of the first times as he was head coach at Louisville, they told the story that she almost came to Kentucky to be the women's basketball coach at Kentucky in the 70s. Mm. And supposedly the story goes that UK wouldn't pay her moving expenses. And that was the only thing that kept her from being UK's women's basketball coach. So think of what might have been different. Maybe it's UK as the preeminent women's basketball program in the country instead of Tennessee if it works out just a little bit differently.
How many of those what-ifs for Kentucky? Football, you know.
Bill Parcells, that's the big one.
All the way back to Bear Bryant.
Right.
The course, there's the legend, which I've heard is just a legend. It's definitely not true, but over the Cadillac that Adolph Rupp was given, where Bear Bryant was given like a pin, and he was like, "Oh, that's it, I'm leaving." But that's from everyone I've heard. That is nothing but legend. It's urban legend. It's not really how it went. All right, we're going to take a break here in about 15 minutes. As I said, we're going to talk baseball, talk AJ Reid specifically with Jim Callis, the senior writer for MLB.com. When we return here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show with John Hale from the Courier Journal on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Spring into summer the right way at MLS Power Sports with a new Arctic Cat, Altera, Prowler, HDX, or Wildcat. Come visit MLS Power Sports in Georgetown today for the best selection. Now through June 30th, get rebates up to $3,000 and financing as low as 1.9% on a great selection of brand new non-current models. They've also got amazing deals on 2016 and 17s, including financing as low as 2.9%, along with rebates up to $500 plus a two-year warranty. That's a $1,549 value.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt and approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a driver's license and all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Savings vary by model purchase and dealer participation. Offer subject to change. See dealer for details.
Ride victoriously. Ride rough. Ride tough. MLS Power Sports. Got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I have often wondered why people would hire law firms many miles from their homes, sometimes well over 100. This is why we have fully staffed offices throughout Kentucky and conveniently located for you. And I mean real offices, not a post office box. You can drive over anytime. When you want to meet with your lawyer, we're close by. And if you've been injured and are unable to come to us, we'll come to you 7 days a week. Also, if you ever have questions about your case, visit forthepeople.com 24 hours a day, and you can always call our office, even at 3 in the morning. Try it. Being connected to you is our goal number one. For over 25 years, we've been here when you needed us most. It has been our honor to represent you and your family. Call or visit us anytime. We're here for you. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices Lexington.
Hey, Gary Wexler here, General Manager Glenn Street from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and boy, are we celebrating the 4th of July this weekend. The savings will have you seeing stars and stripes during Jeep's 4th of July sales event. Now through the 4th of July, lease a brand new Jeep Cherokee for only $219 a month for well-qualified leasees. That's $219 for a brand new Jeep Cherokee, and we've got 40 of them right now in stock. Plus, get $10,000 off MSRP on a brand new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4. 10 grand off MSRP. I told you you'd be seeing stars and stripes. Glenn's Freedom Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, 1560 East New Circle Road, or online at glennsfreedomchryslerdodgejeepram.com.
Ex-Move Tax Title License, 16 Cherokee, more than 5 available, lease 36 months with 2130 due at sign. Includes $599 dock fee, no security deposit required. 10K miles per year with 20 cents per mile overage. 16 Ram 1500 Bighorn, number DJ7H91, MSRP 60815. Discount includes dealer discount and Ram rebate, expires 7/4/16.
ESPN Sports Radio 13. The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Who is this again, Josh? I ask you every time. It's one of these bands that's from Kentucky, right? Black Stone Cherry. Yeah. They're not bad. A little hard for a Sunday morning, maybe. Yeah. Josh has no no sense of sensitivity or anyway. It's the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, and John Hale from the Courier Journal is here from filling in for Mary Joe while she's on vacation. And coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to check in with Jim Callis from MLB.com. We're going to talk about A.J. Reed and A.J. Reed's Major League debut last night. If you want to listen to the show, you can do so at WLXG.com. Also, download the app. All you got to do is go to iTunes, Google Play, type in WLXG in the search, download that app. And then once you have that app on your phone, anytime you hit it, it immediately pops up a live stream of whatever's on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 at that time. That is a really cool feature. All you just touch it, that's it. There's no searching around, messing around. And then there's the TuneIn app as well. But, I mean, if you're going to go and have the TuneIn app, you might as well just get the WLXG app anyway. And then, of course, Josh puts up the podcast after the show. So, like at 11:30 today, by 11:30, you'll be able to check it out on iTunes and search The Dan and Mary Joe Show. 381-1313 is the number to get in here and talk to us, and Steve has done so. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Dan. I was driving around yesterday listening to you, and you were talking about the comments that Clay Travis guy made.
Yes.
And
from Fox Sports, yeah.
Right. I got to thinking about that, and, you know, you wonder if I know Calipari won't do anything because, I mean, he's a public figure, and you can pretty much say anything about a public figure and trying to, you know, having any legal recourse for the public figures almost impossible to prove. But I got to thinking, you know, a few years ago when Bobby Knight came out and kept knocking Cal and UK about the fact that the kids don't go to class in the second semester and all this stuff. You know, Barnhart, he went to ESPN and he said, look, you know, this has got to stop.
Yeah,
and now I understand that Kentucky would have a lot more pull with ESPN than they would with Fox.
Correct. But yes.
I just wonder if they would, if they would go to the heavy heads at Fox and say, you know, this is unacceptable. I was just curious to see what you thought. The only sort of drawback I could see is in the ESPN case, aside from the natural pull that they would have, is the fact that you could come out and you could have quote unquote proof by showing that, hey, the APR, we got, you know, 100% APR and blah, blah, blah. So these kids are clearly going to class, whereas you can't really prove a negative. You can't say, well, you know, we're not paying anybody, but, you know, how are you going to prove you're not paying anybody?
It's, you know, right. Well, I don't even know, even then, though, I think when Bobby Knight made those comments, it wasn't too long after Daniel Orton actually didn't go in the second semester, and that didn't go to class, and that kind of stuff came up, which may have prompted him to, see, I told you, and say it. But, yes, since then, it's been a completely different story. But if you guys listening aren't familiar with what Steve is talking about here, Fox Sports – Clay Travis went on a radio show, and he was asked about, well, is it fair for John Calipari or for ESPN to put John Calipari on all day during draft day and just kind of give him Mike and Mike's show for 2 hours? And he said, shoot, I'm not even worried about that. That pales in comparison to the money he's given players. He said John Calipari's paying players, has been for years, and he cheats his rear end off. Clay Travis also said he thinks that lots of schools pay players, but UK is just among the best. But if he's saying this, then that means it absolutely must be true that Alabama football pays players. Because if that's how it works, then it has to be true on the other side, too. It's not just like, oh, well, college basketball is the only place where they pay players. College football, no, they don't do that. Are you kidding me? College football would be the first place that would be a problem. So His comments just have no legs to stand on whatsoever. I think it is simply a stunt for publicity. He knew exactly what he was doing, and Fox Sports has to have this. I wouldn't put it past Mitch Barnhart to make a call over there and say something, but they do not have the relationship they have with ESPN, and a big part of that is because of ESPN's relationship with the SEC, what they pay for.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I don't doubt that those kind of conversations go on behind the scenes when somebody says something like this. But like you said, I mean, Fox doesn't show any Kentucky games that I'm aware of. It's not like John Calipari's ever going to go on the Clay Travis show anyway. I don't know that he goes on some of the – I don't think he's going to go on Colin Cowherd very often. I don't think he's going to go on any of the shows that Fox is having anyway. So from Fox's standpoint –
probably it.
Yeah, I mean, and if he was, I'm sure they're not going to go on any now. So from Fox's standpoint, even if UK, someone in the behind the scenes were to call over there and say, hey, you need to put this guy in line, I don't know what the negative repercussion for them is because, like you said, they don't really have a relationship to begin with.
Yeah, this whole thing could have been strategic also. Could have been strategic by Fox Sports and them telling Clay Travis, hey, you're going on this radio show or whatever. All this, you know, Dan Le Batard went off on his own network yesterday. Calipari was the story yesterday. Let's jump in on here. Yeah, that could be part of it too. That's a little bit maybe far-fetched conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I think but, Clay Travis is probably a loose cannon enough on his own where he doesn't need direction behind the scenes to go say something controversial.
Yeah. Anything else, Steve?
No, that was it.
All right. We appreciate it. Have yourself a good Sunday.
You too.
381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here. And I forgot to mention this off the top of the show. I've got so meant to do this because this would maybe get some people thinking this morning and call in. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to try to say that I'm not doing this, but I clearly am stealing from the Sklar brothers and an idea that they had from when they were on another radio show, Kentucky Sports Radio, this week. And they were doing movies, coming up with movie names using basketball players. Well, I thought, let's do movies with UK football players. Now, sometimes I have original ideas, and sometimes it's just fine to take one and build on it. There's nothing wrong with that. Some newspaper columns are written on other people's ideas. So I gave a few away yesterday. Eddie Gran Torino, Darren Hinshawshank Redemption, You, Me, and Bud Dupree. So these are just a few of them, so you get the idea. You can call 381-1313 for ones that you would like to add to it. But I got to be honest with you. These are not off the top of my head. Me and a few coworkers the other day, when I brought this up, we started rattling them off left and right, and I wrote them all down. So we have a ton of really good ones. Brave Heart Line. my favorites... The Beetlejuice Johnson, or Beetlejuice Johnson. I love that one. We got the Tim Couch Trip. I've actually never seen The Couch Trip. Have you seen that movie?
I've never even heard of that movie.
Oh, you haven't heard of that movie. It was Dan Aykroyd and... Look that up, Josh. Who was in The Couch Trip? I think it was Dan Aykroyd. There's The Blake Bone Collector.
Probably a lot of bone movies out there.
Yes, there are plenty you could do with that. Derek Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Like that.
Easy one here. Mikel Horton, Here's a Who.
That's a good one.
Yeah. The Longest, Wesley Woodyard. Josh, were you able to find that? No? The Couch Trip?
Dan Aykroyd, Walter Matthau.
He can't even pronounce Walter Matthau's last name. Have you ever seen Grumpy Old Men? Grumpier Old Men.
Or The Odd Couple, or Out to Sea. Those are all the same movies with the same two guys just in different situations.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, wow. The Odd Couple. Jeez, Josh. That just lets me know that I'm slowly dying and everything with me is going. Because The Odd Couple is not even in my time, Josh. It's not even in the, like, it was on the fringe of my time, faded out. But Grumpy Old Men was right in there somewhere. I mean, that's a movie in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, 90s.
Yeah.
Which there was The Odd Couple 2 also came out in the 90s, and that was not very good.
No,
but
it was
the same guys.
I can't blame you if that didn't show up anywhere on your radar when it came out. But 381-1313, if you want to get in here. This Mary Jo, I texted her and I said, you're going to miss a fun weekend because we're going to come up with these names. And I mean, writers, journalists, TV people, radio people. I mean, there's not much more than we love than puns, coming up with stuff. I mean, your former colleague Kyle Tucker is the king. He is a master at this. Puns. So it's too bad. Should have had him on here. He would have rattled off 10 in a row. How to lose a Winston guy in 10 days.
That's a good one.
Give that to Mary Jo. I'll give that to her. Saving Silverman, saving Schlarman. Yeah. Super easy, Josh Forrest Gump. I mean, and then anytime you have someone with the name Love, you could do 100 movies. I chose Courtney Love Actually. City of God, you heard of that movie? City of Max Godby.
That's a good one.
Raiders of the Lost, Matt Roark. North by North, Zach West. Now, do you know, Josh, here's another one. You probably don't know this one. North by Northwest? No. That's an Alfred Hitchcock classic.
I got to watch it.
Right, I'm right on that. Isn't that an Alfred Hitchcock movie? North by Northwest?
Yeah.
Now, you could go another one of these classic movies, you know, Dial M for Murder. Dial M for Marlon McCree. I just like that one. You could have gone with Marcus McClinton there as well. How about Jeff Van the Notebook or the Jeff Van Notebook? What about Bob Gain? There's something about Marty Moore.
Dan is on a roll.
Well, as I said, I'm reading from a list that we did, and we have a ton more. So I'm not gonna go too much further right now. We'll get back into it a little bit later. But you can call 381-1313 and give us yours. Okay, one more before we go. The People versus Larry Warford. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jim Callis, senior writer at MLB.com. He's going to discuss A.J. Reed's major league debut and what that could mean for the Astros moving forward. Next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining ride since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same-day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high performance films and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4411. Or get a quote and download coupons at LuckysAutosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere. All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
As the temperatures rise, so does the length of your grass. But don't worry, Moses's makes cutting grass simple with great prices. Check out the huge Toro parts sale going on now. All in-stock blades are 50% off. In-stock belts and other Toro parts all 25% off while supplies last. If your lawn equipment needs a part, head on over to Moses's for the huge Toro parts sale going on now while supplies last. 511 North Broadway in Georgetown, across from the Broadway Mini Mart. Moses's, your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
Whole Foods Market Lexington is proud to present 5% Day to benefit the African American Forum from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. today in the mall at Lexington Green. While you shop for a cause, you'll enjoy music, food, and beverage samples, and so much more. For more information, visit aafinc.com.
5% day at Whole Foods Market. Today, don't miss it. Sponsored in part by 107.9 The Beat.
ESPN Sports Radio.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal sitting in for Mary Jo Perino. She's on vacation here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And we have with us Jim Callis, MLB.com senior writer. Does the scouting, looks at the prospects, and of course, A.J. Reed making his debut, Major League debut last night that we talked about earlier. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Now, you were at the College World Series, is that right? I understand?
That is correct, yep. We got Coastal Carolina and Arizona playing for the national title starting Monday in a best-of-three series.
That's pretty cool. This is a cool year to be at the College World Series. This is the first time an SEC school has not been in the final since 2007. And Coastal Carolina, this is their debut in the College World Series.
It is. It is their debut. They're the first team since Georgia Tech in 1994 to make it to the finals in their first trip to Omaha. And Arizona, you know, is interesting, too. I mean, they're going for their fifth national title, but this was a team that the coaches in the Pac-12 picked to finish ninth out of 11 teams coming into the year. And they have a coach, Jay Johnson. He's in his first year with the Wildcats, and he's the first-year coach to make it to Omaha with the team since that same Georgia Tech team, Danny Hall, in 1994. It's just been a crazy College World Series, a crazy tournament, really, the whole thing where, you know, you had only three national seeds made it to Omaha. They had only one of them won a game. That was in a head-to-head deal. You had, I think, 17 SEC and ACC teams get into the tournament, and only one of each made it out here. You only had three Big 12 teams get into the tournament, and all three of them made it to Omaha, and two of them made it to the semifinals. So it's been upset after upset after upset, and you know, Coastal Carolina, Arizona both came out of losers bracket. You hadn't had a team do that since 2010. You haven't had two teams do that since 1988, and their pitching's all beat up on both sides. So it's going to be a very interesting, best of three final series. I would bet the over on runs scored because I think these are two deep lineups, and both of their pitching staffs are a little worn out right now.
Now, there's two ways to look at this. One is, this kind of situation here that we have in the College World Series gives Kentucky fans hope.
Right.
If this can happen for Coastal Carolina, if this can happen for Arizona in a tough league as well, you know, similar to the SEC, very tough in the Pac-12, then Kentucky can do it too, especially if Louisville can do it. But then you can look at it the other way. You had A.J. Reed, and you couldn't even make it to a super regional. So you're never going to make it, right?
Kentucky is probably one of the better programs that has never made it to Omaha. I think that's right? They don't think they've ever
They haven't even made it out of the region.
I remember it wasn't my first year of Baseball America, but I remember it was one year they had Stanford on the ropes, and Stanford beat them to get to Omaha back in the late 80s, and they went on to win the national title, maybe in 87 or 88. But, Kentucky's probably one of the better programs that hasn't gotten here, and I think it's more a comedy. They've had some teams capable of getting here, but you have to have so many things go right for you in the postseason. And, fans are probably listening and don't realize. Coastal Carolina has been to a couple super regionals, and they've even hosted a super regional. And they've had a good program, and, you know, they've been winning 50 games consistently the last few years. This year, they were down two runs in the top of the ninth in the final game of the regional.
Yeah.
They scored four runs. They even had the game suspended. They got two runners on, bunted them to second and third, and had the game suspended till the next day. Wound up scoring four runs to survive. But, if they don't make that rally, then we aren't even talking about the Chanticleers right now. So, I think it will happen for Kentucky at some point. They've had some good teams. You just kind of have to have everything fall into place. And, they've had some deep lineups. They've had some good pitching staffs. I think it will happen for the Wildcats one of these years. And, you never know. Chanticleers, usually teams come out here for the first time. They go 0-2. But shoot, the Chanticleers have won, I think, five games now here now, four. I've lost track. They've won a bunch of games out here.
Yeah.
And now they're playing for the national title, and they have a legitimate chance to win the national title.
So let's talk A.J. Reed. I mean, I think as baseball fans, we're kind of spoiled in an era of just great prospect after great prospect and guys who have come up and made immediate impacts, whether it's the Cubs loaded lineup or even before that, guys like Bryce Harper and others. What's the fair expectation for AJ now in his first season in the big leagues?
I think he can be productive. I don't think he's necessarily going to tear it up because they called him up more out of necessity because they were just getting, the Astros were getting nothing out of first base. Tyler White got off to a great start, first 9 or 10 games in the majors, then did nothing. They're basically playing utility Marwin Gonzalez there every day. AJ, who, was, as you guys obviously know, was college player of the year 2 years ago, and then, basically had the best minor league season of anybody last year, led the minors in homers and RBIs and slugging and ops, and I'm probably missing about six categories last year, his first full year as a pro. Got off to a little bit of a slow start this year and then pulled the hamstrings and adversity came back, but it's not like AJ was crushing it in AAA. And I think in a perfect world, the Astros would have loved to keep him in AAA and let him continue to develop, but they need help at the big league level. I think they're going to platoon him to start off. I mean, he still is making adjustments against quality left-handers and breaking pitches, but, I think if he played regularly as a platoon guy against righties, I could see him hitting, 260 with 10 or so home runs in the second half of the season, and that would be a huge upgrade for the Astros based on what they've been getting at first base right now. I think he'll be better in the long term. But I think because they had to call him up, more probably earlier than he was ready, I think it'll be more of a, hold-your-own situation than domination from day one.
So you're saying, I mean, a lot of times when you see a top prospect come up in the middle of June, you start thinking about service time considerations and Super 2 and all those kind of things. This was not a case where they were keeping him down until this point, just to delay his free agency or anything like that, right?
No, not at all. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I think there was a lot of fans. I got a lot of questions on Twitter. Hey, is he going to be the first base this year? Because people looked at the numbers last year, and they were unbelievable. Yeah, and AJ is a very good prospect. That said, some of those numbers were fueled by Lancaster, which is the best place to hit in the minors in high class A. Although he did continue to hit in double A after the promotion. But, no, I mean, he actually, I think, had he had a huge spring training, could have won the first base job then. I mean, they went with Tyler White, another rookie. They had no clear first baseman. Gattis was hurt. They'd gotten rid of Carter in the offseason. So it was more, and I think even they didn't necessarily expect him to win the job. They had some things they wanted him to work on. I've heard from scouts, he needs, like I said earlier, needs to improve against lefties, needs to do a better job against breaking balls. But I do think had he performed like Tyler White did in spring training, then AJ Reed theoretically could open the season as their first baseman.
Now, is this going to hurt AJ Reed, you think, or does he have an opportunity to stick around?
No, I don't think it'll hurt him. I mean, it wasn't like he was hitting 220 in AAA, and he had hit better since he came back the last month or so after injuring a hamstring and going on a DL in early May. But, he's going to need time to adjust. He wasn't, just destroying AAA pitching, so that's why I don't think he's going to come out and just tear it up. I think a positive. I mean, two things A.J. Reed does really well are he hits home runs, and he has eye at the plate, and he won't chase pitches if you're going to pitch around him. And I think he showed that in his debut yesterday. A lot of guys try to do too much when they first come to the big leagues, especially in their first game. But, he took two walks and scored a couple runs. And, I think the nice thing is, too, it's not like they're dropping him into third or fourth spot in the lineup and saying, hey, we really need you to produce. Hey, yeah. He's probably going to bat sixth or seventh. And they just need him to kind of, hold his own. And, I mean, they've been getting nothing out of first base since Tyler White had a really hot in the first 9 or 10 games in the big leagues. And Marwin Gonzalez is really more of a backup middle infielder, not an everyday first baseman. So, maybe there's some pressure, on him, because, he's in the big leagues for the first time. They're trying to make the playoffs. But I don't think they're asking him. I know they're not asking him to carry the team. So I think it's a little bit easier in that regard.
Conditioning has been an issue for AJ at times. I know last year in spring training he kind of showed up overweight, and that was a problem early. Where is he at in that kind of process of just getting his body where it needs to be for a major league player?
I think it's better. I mean, he could probably continue to improve in that regard. I mean, he I don't think the Astros were – I mean, they were unhappy with him last year in spring training. I don't think that was the case this year. But I actually made the comment, we were talking about him in the College World Series press box the other day when he got promoted. I mean, he's listed at 6'4", 275. And, you know, and even if that's accurate, usually, you know, the guys kind of with the extreme weights, like if you're – or you know, like if you're really small or really big, they kind of, you know – maybe give you some benefit of the doubt in those things. I, you know, we're making the comment, if he's listed 275, it makes you wonder what you really weigh. I mean, he could probably stand to be in better shape. I mean, he's never going to be a Gold Glover or you know, real dynamic base runner on the base pass. But he could probably tighten that up. And that said, I think he has, you know, he certainly reported in better shape this year than he did last year.
You think his future is at first base, or is he going to be a DH kind of guy?
I just think it depends on what your other options are. I mean, he's not incapable of playing first base, but I mean, he's not. I mean, he's more adequate. You know, he's not going to be a Gold Glover. I mean, I think if you turned him into an average first baseman, and you probably need to have him get a little quicker and lose some weight to do that, you'd be happy. But he's not terrible, but he's not really an asset over there. So I think it just depends. I mean, if you had another. If you had a better first base option, then you'd probably slide him to DH.
Yeah, Jim, I don't know if you saw, but I think they updated his official weight to height and weight, 6'4", 2 Altuves. That's what he weighs now.
he might weigh 2 Altuves. That's a good thing.
We're talking with MLB.com senior writer Jim Callis on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. We've been talking about A.J. Reed. I wonder if we could pick your brain on any of these other guys who you may know about, like Javon Shelby, Dustin Beggs,
Kyle Cody,
Zach Brown. These guys from Kentucky is what I'm getting at, obviously.
Yeah, I do Kentucky for the draft, so I'm familiar with all those guys. You know, I really like Zach Brown. I mean, I know he had a rough year. Talking to scouts, it was weird. For guys, ERA was around 6. And I thought Zach had a chance to maybe be a first-round pick if he'd come out and had a great spring. Scouts didn't seem to hold it against him too much. I mean, yeah, they would have liked to see him perform better, but I don't think, you know, from talking to scouts, they weren't in love with Kentucky's defense. They didn't think it did him any favors. They didn't love the fact, and I don't know what was going on with this. You guys might know him better than me. But guys were telling me about him and Cody, basically, you know, Kentucky would not call change-ups for their pitchers. And so, you know, if you're an opposing team, he had a look fastball breaking ball against most of their pitchers. You know, people like Zach Brown's changeup, not that it's a plus pitch, but thought he had a good changeup, but just never used it. But, you know, velocity was still there. The breaking ball was still sharp. I think Zach Brown has a chance to be a really nice pick. I want to say that I don't have all my draft lists for me. I want to say the Brewers got him, I know, in the middle rounds on the second day. I think that's the potential to be a really good pick. Kyle Cody. I wonder if Kyle's going to be more of a reliever in the long run. He's a big guy with a big arm. Breaking ball can be good at times. Another guy didn't throw his changeup much. I didn't think he, for as good as he was in the Cape Cod League 2 years ago when he was really, really good, he never really dominated on a consistent basis in Kentucky. And I just, from talking to scouts and just from what I've seen, I wonder if he's long-term better suited to be in that late-inning reliever. Maybe a setup man. You really dream he could be a closer. But, you know, big time arm, big league body. And I think he's going to pitch in the big leagues. Javon Shelby, you know, he's a little bit of a tough one because it's kind of like there's nothing where you're just kind of like, oh, that's okay. It all seems like it's extremes with Javon. I mean, you like the athleticism, you like the power. He really struggled to hit this year, and obviously that's something he's going to have to do a much better job of as he climbs the minor league ladder. And he really struggled at times defensively at third base, despite being fairly athletic. It's interesting with him. I mean, there's some tools there. There's obviously a lot of good bloodlines there. We'll see on him. He's got to get a lot more consistent offensively and defensively, but he does have the tools to play in the big leagues. And, you know, with Beggs, I mean, Beggs is kind of that guy who's probably going to have to prove himself at every level because there's no real outstanding pitch. But he just gets the job done. He mixes pitches, throws strikes. I wouldn't count him out. But, you know, like I said, he's the type of guy. I'll bet he be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe had the best initial success of any of those guys in pro ball this summer, just because he can really pitch. And typically guys who do that are going to succeed in rookie or short season leagues. And, you know, after that, like I said, he'll have to prove himself every step of the way. But, you know, hey, the guy's had a good career, and I wouldn't bet against him.
Have you done any early prep work on the 17 draft class, just when you were calling guys, whether it be Evan White or Zach Logue or any of their other guys who are going to be eligible next year?
No, I've been basically working on signings and in College World Series, and we update all of our top 30 prospect lists for organizations at midseason, so we've got to get started working on that. But I will say, and it's like I don't have the roster in front of me. Is it Justin Lewis? Is he
yes.
a sophomore?
Yeah. Yes, sophomore.
Reliever.
Sophomore, yeah.
Yeah, he's a guy who people, and I don't think he's draft eligible for next year, but there is a lot of buzz about him for 2018. So he's probably the best prospect going forward on that Wildcats roster.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. By the way, we think maybe Jaron Shelby might be the best of the T-Bone Shelby line when it's all said and done. He just went to JUCO, so we'll see next year. See how that goes. But thanks again, Jim,
so
for taking
time. He's not going to Kentucky.
No.
Yeah,
with the regime change and the staff, and decided he wanted to be draft eligible again next year, so he's going to go 1 year at JUCO and see where he's at again.
Yeah.
Huh, where's he headed? I didn't even realize that.
I can't even tell you. It was, you know, the JUCO are so difficult to remember all the directional names, but was it Florida, John, or?
I'm looking it up now. Yeah, in Florida.
Yeah, it was one of the Florida schools, but, you know, he's the first because, of course, John Shelby Jr.
Yeah, they're all supposed to go to Kentucky.
Yeah, went, and then Javon. And Jaron.
State College of Florida.
State College of Florida. He's a good football player, too.
Well, see, I learned something. This has been good for me. I didn't even realize that. So.
Hey, well, thanks again. We really appreciate it. Hope to talk to you again down the road and enjoy that College World Series.
Okay, thanks, guys. Good talking to you. Thank you.
Jim Callis, senior writer for MLB.com, joining us here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. John Hale from the Courier-Journal filling in for Mary Jo Perino. Good stuff. Enjoyed that conversation. We'll take your phone calls next, 381-1313 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Your Lexington Legends homestand wraps up this afternoon with Curious George coming to Whitaker Bank Ballpark. The gates will open at 1 p.m. Get to the ballpark early and meet and greet with Curious George and a few of the Legends players down by the kids' play area. Check out LexingtonLegends.com for tickets.
Treat your clothes like royalty by treating them to Emperor's Cleaners. With over 40 years of experience, Emperor's Cleaners has everything your clothes need. Fine clothiers even recommended Emperor's for brands like St. John's Knits. They specialize in same-day service. Bring in your shirts by 9 a.m., they'll be done the same day. Emperor's Cleaners is a family-run business, ensuring top-quality service. Located on Richmond Road in the Eidelauer Plaza, Emperor's Cleaners will treat you and your clothes like royalty.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
We were just talking to Jim Callis from MLB.com, and I was impressed with what he said about, or what impressed me from the conversation was his take on Justin Lewis. That tells me that Justin Lewis is probably going to be a weekend starter next season for UK. If you don't know Justin Lewis, reliever, throws in the 90s, has a excellent breaking ball, and he looked really good at times there.
And he was a redshirt freshman this year, so he will be draft eligible next year.
Oh, he will be draft eligible.
I kind of put Jim on the spot there. It's
right.
Not quite fair asking about younger guys because the way those
the
pre-draft process, each of their riders has a region, and then they go and call scouts and college coaches and whatnot about that draft class, and then you got to worry about the prospects and all that stuff afterwards. So he hasn't really done any prep yet on 2017. So the fact that Justin Lewis' name was coming up, even despite that in conversation, that's a pretty good sign, I think, for Kentucky.
That's a lot of stuff to take in. Lot of stuff.
6'6", 190 on the roster, so kind of a beanpole up there.
Right.
See if he can add some weight to the frame this summer and then see where he's at.
Well, We're going to switch and talk basketball because we've got Al on the line. He's calling in to talk about John Calipari and his appearance on ESPN. Good morning, Al. How are you?
How you doing? Real quick, though, I grew up with John Shelby.
Yeah, T-Bone.
Yeah, and his wife. We, in fact, all of us are good friends. But his wife, Trina, is the one that directed those young boys into playing baseball. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah.
John was always traveling with other teams. Tremendous person, two-time world champion winner with the Orioles in 83 and then 88 with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
John Calipari one day will win another championship.
Yes.
But I don't think that he it's unbelievable how he and LeBron James over the last 7 years have dominated the talk and conversation in North American basketball. Coach Calipari on the collegiate side and on the NBA side when June draft season comes along. And LeBron James winning a championship this year while coming back to Cleveland. And then he said he was going to go down to Miami and win a handful, and he did that. Can you talk a little bit about those two guys and how influential they've been on the basketball platform over the last 7 years or so?
Well, obviously, I mean, if you're talking top college coaches in the country, I mean, Cal has some competition, whether it's Coach K or Rick Pitino or Roy Williams or whoever else. But he, I think, more than any of those guys, knows how to use the media and knows how to – social media was a huge thing for him. He kind of latched onto that really early and has since that era really dominated the conversation. I think having CoachCal.com was kind of a brilliant move on his part from a PR perspective, so he can always be out there making news. And then LeBron, obviously, you know, whether you want to say he's the best basketball player in history or just the best basketball player in the world right now, whatever, he's clearly a once-in-a-generation kind of talent and is a polarizing figure in himself with his move to Miami and then hatred, or and the Cleveland people kind of, you know, obviously didn't take that well, but then comes back as the prodigal son and returns and wins a title. And I think it's always interesting how Cal has latched on to LeBron too.
Yeah.
Even without any sort of real concrete, you know, reason for a friendship, he's always had LeBron around the program. On the on the ESPN the other day, he was talking about how he'd offered a scholarship to LeBron's son because they are family, and he offers that to all his those kind of his former players or their kids, Kerry Kittles and some other guys he had done that with too. So I think it works both ways for them. It keeps Cal's conversation in the name for NBA jobs. And he was a candidate for the Cavs job two openings ago and decided not to take that and come back to Kentucky. But those guys are always going to be linked, I think, for as long as their careers last.
Well, you have, you know, Brandon Weems, the former assistant on staff, or I guess he was, I don't know what his official title was, but, you know, an up-and-coming, it was assistant in training, I guess is what you would say is, you know, so many of these guys get a chance, Calipari will give them a chance to be on the staff and be around the team there, and they're not officially an assistant or anything, but they just, it's kind of the paying your dues, your entry into coaching there, like Preston Spradlin, who's now at Morehead State, got a chance that way, and Brandon Weems. The reason he is important when you're talking about LeBron is he was a teammate of LeBron's in high school. They played together. And then when the championship the other night, Brandon Weems was in the locker room with LeBron and had the same championship gear on that LeBron was wearing and taking pictures with him. So they are super tight. That tells you from high school till now that they're still that tight. And that connection, I think, probably sparked Calipari. He's going to use every resource that he has at his fingertips to his advantage, and Brandon Weems was a resource to LeBron James, and that's why LeBron James came to a game and did the why, and that, I think, sparked it in the way he latches on to Drake. He realized that latching on to LeBron would be a smart move because he is the best. You Steph Curry all you want, but Steph Curry's just the last couple of years where people have been enamored with what he can do. LeBron has been the king for a while, and you go back to just he's generational, and then he spans so many people. Like, he caught people in their late 30s or 40 early 40s when he's coming out of high school. He's with them now. He's with guys who are, you know, in their, my kid is 7 years old, knows about LeBron, you know. So he's also something that you'll ever see anything quite like this again. Just the way he came out of high school with they don't do that anymore. It's not like that. But then also with the decision to go to Miami and then to have a show about it and then to have an entire town burn you in effigy and then to return and give that town its greatest sports moment in half a decade. So we got to go, Al. Thank you. We'll be back after the break on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command & Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command & Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play, at the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
Wednesdays are going to the majors all summer long at Wing Zone. Hello, this is Doug Flynn, and everyone knows there's three things I love: fishing, golf, and of course, Cincinnati Reds baseball. Thanks to Wing Zone, I now have something else to enjoy: the Reds Pack. Every Wednesday, you can get 20 wings, jumbo wedge fry, ranch, and celery for only $15. That's right, only $15 and delivered right to your door. Call Southland Drive at 259-1300. Or Eureka Springs at 259-1400. I know what I'll be indulging in every Wednesday. The Reds Pack from Wing Zone.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station. ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi, live now on ESPN. It's UEFA Euro 2016, the round of 16. Ireland leads France 1-0 at the half on a goal by Robbie Brady. Baseball, Elvis Andrews hit a bases-loaded triple. Ian Desmond homered. He's got 34 hits since June 1st, the most of anybody in Major League Baseball in that span. The American League-leading Rangers defeated the Red Sox 10-3. Boston's Stephen Wright gave up a career-high 8 runs, but 5 of those were unearned. Astros ran their winning streak to 7 thanks to a 13-5 victory over the Royals. Jose Altuve went 4-for-5. Cameron Rupp chased Madison Bumgarner with a 2-run shot in the Phillies' 3-run 7th. They defeated the Giants 3-2. First time since April 15th that Bumgarner gave up more than 2 earned runs in a game. That is a span of 12 starts. Mets got 8 scoreless out of Jacob deGrom. The Braves got 8 shutout innings from Julio Teheran. Kelly Johnson, go-ahead pinch-hit home run, top of the 11th. New York edged Atlanta 1-0. Pirates scored 5 in the 6th, including a 3-run homer by Andrew McCutchen. Defeated the Dodgers 6-1. LA and Pittsburgh meet up on Sunday Night Baseball, 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio and ESPN. The Mariners bullpen, 4 shutout innings. Seattle got by St. Louis 5-4. Indians second baseman Jason Kipnis left the win over the Tigers with what was announced as an illness. No word yet on his status for today. Cleveland has won 8 straight games. Nationals righty Steven Strasburg will miss his second consecutive start due to an upper back strain against the Brewers. Tanner Roark gets the call in his place. Golf, Billy Hurley III leads the Quicken Loans National. Carl Edwards has the pole for the Sprint Cup race.
Will the trade for Victor Oladipo increase the chances of Kevin Durant returning to OKC? Ryan Russillo joins Mike and Mike in studio with the latest on NBA free agency Monday morning on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Spring and the summer the right way at MLS Power Sports with a new Arctic Cat, Altera, Prowler, HDX, or Wildcat. Come visit MLS Power Sports in Georgetown today for the best selection. Now through June 30th, get rebates up to $3,000 and financing as low as 1.9% on a great selection of brand new non-current models. They've also got amazing deals on 2016 and 17s, including financing as low as 2.9%, along with rebates up to $500 plus a two-year warranty. That's a $1,549 value.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt and approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a driver's license and that all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Savings vary by model purchase and dealer participation. Offer subject to change. See dealer for details.
Ride victoriously.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
When a client comes to our firm after an accident or an incident, we have the awesome responsibility of returning what was taken away from them. A few seconds can change your life forever. Loss of income and earning potential, past and future medical bills, pain and suffering, past, present, and the future. The loss of the enjoyment of life. No longer being able to enjoy the things you once did, even simple things, nice walks, sports, and just living in constant pain. Our clients don't seek charity, they seek justice. They aren't looking for a handout or a lottery ticket. They're looking to have their life back and property restored. All they want back is what was taken from them. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about your legal rights. The consultation is free. No recovery, no fee. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Offices Lexington.
These are the nights to never die. My father told me.
Reds fans, be a part of Super Saturdays this season at Great American Ballpark. Saturday, July 16th, thanks to PNC Bank, the first 25,000 fans will receive a Zach Cozart bobblehead. Catch all the action when your Reds take on the Brewers for just $12. For tickets, call 513-381-REDS or visit Reds.com.
Are you the best in the bluegrass? Then go for the gold against Kentucky's top athletes. Join ESPN Sports Radio 1300 at the Bluegrass State Games. There's something for everyone, any age or ability. So get registered today to compete in over 30 sports. Baseball to bowling, chess to cheerleading, softball to soccer. The Bluegrass State Games are one of the longest running state competitions in the country and the signature event of the Bluegrass Sports Commission. Check it out online at bgsg.org.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
It's John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal sitting in for Mary Jo Perino here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. 381-1313 is the number to call. You can listen to us live streaming, WLXG.com. Also on the WLXG app, which you can get on iTunes and Google Play, both those places. Just go and then type in WLXG in the search. Do the same on the TuneIn Radio app. Just type in WLXG and you can listen to us there. And then on iTunes and Google Play, you can get the podcast around 11:30, about a half hour after the show, by typing in the Dan and Mary Jo Show. So, I mean, you got no excuse to listen unless you just do not like me and John, which could,
it could be the case.
It could be the case. Something we haven't talked about this weekend yet was UK football. Well, first I wanted to go with, we did talk about Calipari and Patino going back and forth. I just want to get your opinion on this before we move on and move off of it. Do you think, because Tim Sullivan, your colleague at the Courier-Journal, wrote calculated or careless on this, talking about Calipari, which was it? How does how does he not know what he's doing?
I think 98% of the time that Cal says something in an interview like that, he absolutely knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
The one maybe bit of doubt that I'm willing to admit in this situation is he might not have immediately considered when he said it that everyone was going to go straight to Louisville. Because, I mean, I think Louisville was probably involved in his thinking, maybe subconsciously or whatever, but it wasn't the only one. I mean, I think it probably also had something to do with North Carolina or Syracuse or whoever, some of these guys who have had trouble recently. And John Calipari absolutely thinks that there are a group of coaches in the country who are esteemed by certain segments of the media and certain people in the NCAA or whatever. And he said this in the interview, too. This part actually gets left behind, that he feels like there are certain guys who, when something happens, they can call up the NCAA and say, make this go away, and it gets going on. He said that in the interview.
And so he said that. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
He absolutely thinks that people that he is treated differently than some of these other Hall of Fame guys, whether it's Coach K or Roy Williams or Patino or whoever, whereas his baggage, which there is baggage, and that's part of this that also has gotten, you know, swept under the rug a little bit by saying the way he did, that coaches know what happens on their campuses, right, but when it happens at home or when it happens wherever, you can't know that. Well, that immediately gets him out of his backwaters, because right, the Derrick Rose SAT thing was obviously at home. The Marcus Camby taking money from an agent thing was not something that was on campus. And so that gets him to absolve himself in those issues. So there is a little bit of self-interest, whereas some of these other things he thinks that should have been a bigger deal and haven't been made a bigger deal for whatever reason, haven't been. So I'm willing to at least consider the fact that he wasn't specifically, when he said this, thinking, Louisville, you know, prostitute scandal, let me say this right now. But it was, I mean, it's part of it for sure. So I think almost every time he says something like this on the radio, it's calculated. Maybe there was a little bit this time where he didn't anticipate the full exactly where people were going to go right away.
It feels like, and I can understand this, human nature. Why is everybody always picking on me? Like, I am accomplished. I'm a Hall of Fame coach, too. I've gotten to this point, yet Memphis won't acknowledge me, won't honor me, say they're going to honor me, and then decide, oh, too many people hate you, we're not going to do that. Why? Why is this my fault? But Rick Pitino can get away with it. Roy Williams can get away with it. These other guys, you know, you're not coming down on them the way you come down on me. And all I did, my name never was attached to it. I mean, my name is not in the actual infraction. I didn't do anything wrong, according to the NCAA, in either one of these situations, because it didn't happen on campus. These guys, shoot, happened on Roy Williams' campus, happened on Rick Pitino's campus. That feels the way this is, right?
Yeah, I think 100% that's probably what's going on there. And I think some people, some national writers, maybe some people in New England wrote when he got inducted in the Hall of Fame about how it would be interesting to see how he handled being in the inner circle now, because Cal's a guy throughout his entire career who has been motivated by being an outsider,
yeah,
and not getting a seat at the big boys table. I mean, that's what he talked about when he got to Kentucky, how he mm-hmm. coached his entire career to get to an opportunity like this where he could be at one of the blue blood programs, and he finally was. And then you get inducted in the Hall of Fame and it becomes harder to argue that you don't get the respect that you deserved. I mean, there are only, you know, a handful of active coaches in the Hall of Fame, and he's one of them. Well, I don't think it's been a problem, as we can see the last year. He has still found plenty of motivation in terms of his perception publicly and the way people think. And he admitted again in that Mike Lubica interview that part of his social media things and having CoachCal.com and all that is because 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people he thought had a vendetta against him in the media could say something, and there was no real recourse. But now that can't happen as much because he can just go put out what he wants to do, which if you don't realize that there's going to be a PR slant to anything he writes on his own website, then you probably need to wake up a little bit. But he can at least rebut it, and he can put out the image he wants to put out in his side of the story and those kind of situations. And then he can get the army of the Big Blue Nation on Twitter to go after these guys. And it becomes much harder to be a one-sided kind of biased slant. And I'm sure Kentucky fans would argue there are still plenty of guys out there who are against Kentucky, and there's probably some truth to that in certain situations. But now I think Cal has a much better platform to argue against it, and he can go out and say something like this on Mike Lubica's show, and then it becomes a huge news story for, 2 weeks now?
Moving on from that, he has to do something with Derek Willis. He is not talked about it, and it's been, as you mentioned, I think yesterday on our show, is that you know, his media opportunities locally. The last one was, we're talking about the draft and the draft only, and that was a directive from UK, which is fine. It's understandable. But that also meant, don't ask him about Derek Willis. That was, in so many words, that's what they were saying. And then the national media, Mike Lupica and Mike Greenberg and Stephen A. Smith and everyone else that Calipari talked to, either they were told ahead of time not to bring up Derek Willis, which I don't think that would have happened because that would bring attention to it. Maybe Calipari was just, he was ready to say what he needed to say. He was just hoping it's national people there not in tune with it enough to know that Derek Willis was arrested. And then Derek Willis is not a big enough star because his name's not mentioned as an NBA draft guy so that it would come up. But he got diversion for his alcohol intoxication arrest in Boone County. His girlfriend, by the way, just paid the $25 fine for it. So really, this isn't a huge charge anyway. Since he was not charged with a DUI, this would be a $25 fine, but it would go on his record. This way, with diversion, it can come off of his record. It doesn't have to go on there. He doesn't have to have a criminal charge on his record as long as he completes some community service or whatever the court decides to tell him to do. But that's a good outcome for Derek Willis, but what is John Calipari going to do?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, it was a kind of interesting just progression to watch as the story came out over the course of the weekend that happened. I mean, I think after the news officially came out and then everybody was reporting he was arrested for alcohol intoxication in a public place, the initial reaction from fans and I think even media, I think it's a fair reaction, is it's not really a big deal that a right. kid 10 days before his 21st birthday or mm-hmm. whatever is drinking alcohol. I mean, it's a college kid who's out at a party, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares? Much ado about nothing. And I think there's some truth to that. I mean, I don't think anybody is suggesting that Derek Willis should get kicked off the team or
right.
that she gets suspended for half the season or whatever for having making a mistake that on the grand scheme of things, especially in some of the sports scandals that we've seen over the last year, is really doesn't even equate with some of those things. So I don't think that's ever. But then the next morning I called the Boone County Sheriff's Department and got the arrest citation, and that's when it comes out that he was found passed out in the street outside the open door of his vehicle.
Yes.
Well, then now it becomes a bigger deal.
Yes.
And I even had people who had tweeted out me on Sunday night saying, you all are making too big a deal of this. Why are you even talking about this? Who cares? Come back the next day and say, oh, well, I was wrong. This is a bigger deal.
Yeah.
This is something that's mattered. And then the video comes out. And whether you think that was piling over the top or not and whether those kind of things should be available, it at least physically showed what state he was in that night, how
yes.
dangerous the situation was.
Yes.
You know, laying in the middle of the street outside a car door. So I think that added another level to it. I don't think that John Calipari is going to suspend him for any significant amount of time. Maybe he suspends him for an exhibition game, maybe a one regular season game, whatever it is. Maybe he just handles it internally in terms of extra conditioning and whatever, and I think that would be a fine situation too. I just think we're at the point now where Cal needs to be asked about it so he can say, we handle these things internally. He's going to be punished, but you know we're going to handle it ourselves, and that's going to be the end of the story, and that's all he has to say, and then we'll move on.
Right.
Until he does that, though, it's going to continue to be an issue every time.
Now, John Calipari will always say players first, and he's going to protect his players and not going to turn on them and that kind of thing. But when it comes to basketball, he doesn't protect them very often as far as what he says. He puts it right out there. What holds him accountable that way through the media, because he knows we're going to go and ask that player what he just said. Cal said this about you. And a lot of times the player is blindsided by it, but he's doing it for a reason. So I wonder, will he come out and say, Derek is going to go to alcohol counseling. We're going to have classes that he's going to take. He's going to be held accountable for these things. You know, Matthew Mitchell, you can look to the way he handled Michaela Epps' situation with her alcohol situation. I guess maybe it was a DUI that she got. But anyway, Matthew would just say, we asked her to do certain things, and she's done them. So I would be interested to see how John Calipari handles it publicly, if he will keep it super close to the vest or if he will let people in on what it is. Because there's cases to be made for either way. I mean, if you come out and say, we're going to have him take an alcohol course about, because we don't, this indicates that he may have a problem. And we need to make sure that he takes care of it quickly as he can for him as the person. So if he says something like that, that to me shows something a little bit better than the way, let's say, Scott Strickland handled the situation down there at Mississippi State with the football player who was seen on video hitting a woman twice his age. Which Strickland was even asked specifically, what about, you know, why wouldn't you just let him go through courses and stuff to deal with anger management and violence and stuff, and then see what the result of that is before you determine that he can play football for you. So anyway, that's the comparison there. We got to get to a break. 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here. We haven't had anybody call to give these UK football names for movies, but I'm telling you, we came up with so many of them, I've got to throw some out at you. Which one did I do last? Let's see. The City of Max. Dial M for Marlon McCree. The Jeff Van Notebook. Oh, we did this. Oh, what about Bob Gane? Damon Hood, Prince of Thieves. Kung Fu Blanda. I love that one. George Blanda, Kung Fu Blanda. How about 16 Randalls for Randall Cobb? Or the Cobb Father. Tango and Cash Daniel. I like that one. Oh, I just saw it. Half Draked for Drake Jackson. Dusty Bonner and Clyde. This is my favorite one right here, okay? This is my favorite one before we go to break. My favorite one is, you remember Collins Ukwu, the defensive end? Yeah,
defensive end two-star guy that Joker Phillips tried to use as his example for every kid that was going to come in as a two-star recruit and then develop into a good player over the course of 4 years.
Yes, that Collins Ukwu. One who flew over the Ukwu's nest. All right, let's go to break on that one. The Dan and Mary Jo Show with John Hale from Louisville Courier Journal and ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
LeBron James delivers a championship to Cleveland.
Wow, what a night. And there was one point in the game where Chris just turned to me and she said, "Why don't you just watch this one as a fan?" And you know what I did? And oh my God, you get so nervous as a fan. Wow, I mean, your heart pumps a little more. You're sitting on the edge of your seat a little more. You're yelling at the TV way more. If there were things around me, I might have thrown them.
The NBA and Mike
on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command & Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command & Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
For a long, long time in Lexington, Hearst Business Supply and Furniture Solutions has been downtown. Well, they've moved. There's a new location at 500 Buck Place off Greendale Road with a fabulous new working showroom. You can see your furniture in action. Just visit them, tour the new facility, or they can come to you. Take a chair test drive. They have it all for your office at Hearst. Office products, break room, bathroom, space planning, furniture, everything from the boardroom to the bathroom. No order too small or too large. No space too small or too large. No job is too small or too large. It's local, family-owned, third generation, and it's owned by a wonderful woman named Hope Hearst. Are you the person who orders office products, coffee, break room, bathroom supplies? Get it from one source. Visit HearstGroup.net with everything for the office. Think Hearst first.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal is sitting in for Mary Jo, who's on vacation here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. 381-1313 is the number you can call to get in here and throw in your movies using UK football names. I had two that were texted to me, Three Men and a Beatty. Matt and the Hat, as in Matt Elam.
I just got Pookie Jones and the Temple of Doom.
I like that one, Pookie Jones and the Temple of Doom. You could go Pookie Jones Diary. The Man Who Would Be Larrod King, or The Last Sahim King of Scotland. Joker and the Bandit, Raphael Little Giants, and EJ Fields of Dreams. Those last two are both from Mary Jo, who I was texting with earlier this week saying, we're going to do this. Too bad you're not going to be here because, you know, this is right up your alley. It's going to be fun. Well, before the break, we were talking, John, about, you know, the Derek Willis situation, which, you know, brings up athletes in trouble, and I mentioned the Mississippi State situation. Recent situation with UK football, Jason Hatcher being, you know, kicked off the team for a second issue. He had already been suspended a game for an issue, and then he turns around and then has an arrest where he is caught with a large amount of marijuana. And so he was booted from the team, and your colleague Steve Jones over at the Courier-Journal caught up with Jason to find out the latest on him, which is that he's transferring to West Georgia. But the real takeaways from that article are the things that Jason Hatcher said.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think yesterday we talked for a segment about Johnny Manziel and what his dad had come out and said about him needing to figure it out for himself, and he couldn't do it for him anymore, whatever. Well, I think the good indication now from at least what Jason said publicly to Steve, and if you want to read the story, I tweeted it out earlier. You can see it on Twitter at John Hale, J-O-N-H-A-L-E underscore C-J. But from all indications, Jason has figured out that what he did. He made a mistake. He's kind of thrown away a golden opportunity to play at Kentucky and even maybe play in the NFL one day, and maybe he can still do that if he gets his act together at West Georgia. But he was very contrite, very apologetic. He talked about how it's a clean slate for him now. I think that maybe the takeaway quote is he says, looking back on my career at UK, I feel I hindered myself with off-the-field distractions. I feel that I never got the chance to showcase my full potential because I could never get the off-the-field, get over the off-the-field issues. And I think anybody who has watched Jason for the 3 years he was here at Kentucky would 100% agree with that. I mean, this is a kid who came in as a four-star recruit the very first day that Mark Stoops and his staff could recruit after they had been hired in December, 2012. He sent DJ Elliott, who was his only assistant on the staff at the time, to Frankfurt to see Ryan Timmons, and then he went from Frankfurt to Louisville to meet with Jason Hatcher. This is a kid who did not consider Kentucky at all before Stoops and his staff were on there, and has been very public with the fact that, you know, he didn't think much of the program and wouldn't have ever come here, and then they managed to really sell him on the program. It was the biggest recruiting win early in Mark Stoops' tenure, and then he's a four-star kid who had offers from Notre Dame and USC and whoever, Louisville, all across the board. And to get him at Kentucky, I think, really was one of the early wins that helped Mark Stoops and his staff sell to other recruits and say, listen, we can get good players who are going to come here and play. And so he's huge, but he never really lived up to that potential. I mean, injuries were a part of it. He was suspended for, I think, the first three games this year, and then when he finally came back from the suspension, he, you know, got hurt at one point. I think he was probably only fully healthy for a couple of games at all this fall, but was really the only experienced outside linebacker outside of Denzel Ware, who's a sophomore going in, that they had coming back, and that's such a huge concern for this team. He would have been such a major part of the defense as a senior to go out and make this mistake, and Mark Stoops, I don't think really had any choice but to kick him off the team.
Yeah,
really just kind of threw away what could have been a promising career. He said he's pleaded down out of the charges, and he's going to go through some court-ordered various things to get those off as atonement for what he did. He did say, I thought it was interesting that Mark Stoops and Mitch Barnhart let him stay in school through the end of the spring semester.
Yeah.
He was very grateful for that. I think he actually said he wrote letters to those guys and more at Kentucky thanking them for letting him do it. So he stayed eligible. He's going to be able to play at West Georgia immediately this fall since the Division II school. So from all indications, it seems like he's gotten his head on his shoulders and realized it's now or never for turning turning this thing around.
Didn't he say that he was? I think he said something like, "I'm going to live at the football facility. I don't even have a car because if I get a traffic ticket, I'm in trouble on my probation because I got probation for a year or something, or 5 years maybe even."
Yeah, he says, "I'm well aware of the opportunities I had, that a lot of them are gone now, and there's only a few opportunities I still have. That also keeps me motivated to stay clean. Anytime I think about wanting to smoke weed, I think about the night I got arrested and how everything changed for me."
Yeah. Also in that article, he said he was untouchable. He just felt that way. Felt like he could get away with anything. For Jason Hatcher, it is such – I mean, and I'm so glad that he's getting another opportunity. But the one he had at Kentucky, especially NFL draft-wise, is this – if he could have avoided the distractions and had one solid season here where he lived up to his potential. Because if you ever got a chance to see these open practices, or, you know, sometimes we get a chance, or every year we get a chance to go to a couple of them, and we get to shoot some video or just watch, and, of course, the spring you could watch. But when you see him in drills, compared to the other guys at his position and what they go through, Jason Hatcher was always – visibly way ahead of the other guys. Or if you watch him in like pass protect drills going one-on-one, I can remember standing next to Jeremy Jarman one time watching it. And it was just a huge difference the way Jason Hatcher, his speed, his explosiveness off the ball. You could just see it. He was a star. You could just tell he was just had it all going the right way for him. As far as what he could do on the football field, and you would see that in practice. But, you know, he mentioned Noah Spence EKU and how he was able to get, you know, drafted and go to the NFL after the problems he had at Ohio State. So he's looking to that as kind of a model, it appears.
Yeah, and I think he said he actually had talked to Noah a few times just about the advice he said he gave him. It's a test, and you can only pass or fail. So I think he realizes this, or he seems to at least, this is his last chance. I mean, we never got to see him on the field enough to really give him a chance to back up the kind of recruiting hype that he had out of Trinity. But even this last year, if he hadn't been suspended for the beginning of the season, and he hadn't got hurt, as a junior with his kind of physical ability, playing a position that Kentucky has shown they can get guys into the NFL at, what Bud Dupree did as a first-round pick. I mean, he's a guy, if he had had a big junior year at Kentucky and had been on the field the entire time, he could have been gone after the end of the season because he was leaving for the draft after 3 years and he was eligible for it. Now it's, I'm sure, not what he wanted out of his career, not what his family wanted out of his career, not what Mark Stoops wanted out of his career. I think all those guys were really rooting for Jason to get it together, and hopefully for his sake, this is what it took, and now he can finish that off.
Yeah, you think about these guys recently, we saw, who was the guy, completely lost his name now, he was accused of a sexual assault on UK's campus, Lloyd Tubman, and then you go back to Ridge Wilson.
Actually, I think West Georgia's head coach was the coach at West Alabama, or South Alabama, wherever Ridge Wilson ended up, so I think it's the same head coach who took him, and actually West Georgia's athletic director is a former quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator at Kentucky from the Freddie Maggard era, as Freddie pointed out the other day.
Oh, really? Speaking of Ridge Wilson in these, you know, movies with football players' names, you know I'm going here. Heartbreak Ridge Wilson. I mean, you get Dr. Jekyll and Jacob Hyde, or you could go with Jacob Hyde Park on the Hudson. Arliss Beaches. No. George Patch Adams. This is another one of my favorite. If I'm going to rank the ones, every which way but Artus, for Artus Pinner.
Nice.
I like that one. Or you could do Guess Who's Coming to Pinner. Two Mules for Kingera Daniel. Two Mules for Sister Sarah. All right. We better take a break on that one. 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here and throw your puns for movies with UK football players' names in them here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
Got kids? Need something fun and free to do this weekend? It's the Cartown Carnival. This Saturday from noon to 2 at Cartown Kia on Nicholasville Road. Your kids will have a blast in the inflatables, and the first 25 kids get a free jump pass to Sky Zone.
Parents win tickets to great concerts and the Quaker State 400.
Don't miss Cartown Carnival this Saturday. Great Kia deals this weekend. Rio for $10,988 and the Soul for $12,988.
Model numbers 31421 and B15111 plus tax, tags, and fees.
Lawn work doesn't have to be expensive or time-consuming. Leave it to the professionals at Blue Ribbon Lawn Care. They mow every lawn like they're mowing for their mom, beautifully with attention to detail. Here's what some Blue Ribbon Lawn Care satisfied customers have to say.
Very faithful and efficient and pays attention to detail, and I like that. I would describe his work as immaculate.
For all their services, visit BlueRibbonLex.com or call 275-1166. Isn't your yard worth a Blue Ribbon? Lawn work doesn't have to be expensive or time-consuming. Leave it to the professionals at Blue Ribbon Lawn Care. They mow every lawn like they're mowing for their mom, beautifully with attention to detail. Here's what some Blue Ribbon Lawn Care satisfied customers have to say.
Very meticulous, and I've been really, really pleased with his work. I think that he is a maestro.
For all their services, visit BlueRibbonLex.com or call 275-1166.
Fantastic job.
Isn't your yard worth a Blue Ribbon?
It's a great day to eat barbecue. My favorite thing is the cowbell. Moo!
My favorite thing is the slow-cooked meat. Their vinegar slaw reminds me of my grandma's house in Birmingham.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is the atmosphere and food.
I love coming to City Barbecue because I love their fries.
Their pulled chicken is filled with flavor.
I love their turkey.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is all of the smoked meat!
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is I always leave happier than when I got here.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Good choice of music here. I like this one. Rolling around down Rodeo with a shotgun. Is this one? Is that Bulls on Parade? Yeah. All right. We were doing movies using UK football players' names. I got another one that came to me, texted to me, sent to me. Wild Wild Westry. Nice. The Good, the Bad, and the Abney. I like that one. I got a couple. Braxton Kelly's Heroes. The Cable Guy Morris. All right, this is another one of my favorites if I'm doing like a top five or something. The Day After Vince Morrow.
That's a good one.
I've got those, I would say my top five. That's one of them. Every Which Way But R2's. I love that one. Kung Fu Blanda. And then I've got one. I'm going to save this one for last. I'll get to this one in a minute. But if you want to get yours in, 381-1313. Is the number to call here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show with John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal sitting in for Mary Jo, who's on vacation. You can listen to us, WLXG.com. You can get the podcast after the show on iTunes or Google Play. You just enter the Dan and Mary Jo Show into the search, and then you should download the app. If you want to listen, easiest way to do it, wherever you are, you just go to iTunes or Google Play and type in WLXG, and then that app, as soon as you hit it on your phone, it just immediately live streams. Josh had one. He's answering the phone right now, but he had, which is an obvious one. Here comes the boom, Williams. It's a good one.
How about Super Stoopers?
Super Stoopers. I like that one. I do like that one. I was trying to think of one for Stoops the other day.
Starship Stoopers, too. You
know? Starship Stoopers. Super Troopers is such a great movie, by the way. It is outstanding. Here we go, Jeff. Jeff's on the line. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. What do you got?
Oh, brother, where art still thou?
That's good.
Yes, I like that one. Mary Jo, she texted, "Art still Alice." It's not bad, but I like, "Oh, brother, where art?" Yeah, I like that one.
All right. That's all I had.
Just get out that one? All right. Of course, there's Finding Dorian. Or if you want to go to the first movie, there's Finding Nico.
Yeah.
Nico Furios. Well, since we're on that for a second, is Nico Furios, is he going to have a chance to be impactful, you think, this season? Because they linebacker is a need, but they have guys that seem like they're going to be really good. They feel like they're going to be really good. It's just not proven, which would be like Danilo Laster and Courtney Love.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a linebacker and you're healthy this fall, you got a chance
yeah.
to play. I mean, almost no one in that group has played significant snaps in the SEC, especially really at all. I mean, Denzel Ware at the outside linebacker spot started, but 11 games, the redshirt freshman last year. He's the veteran of the group, although he hated when we called him a veteran this spring because he said veterans don't make mistakes, and I clearly am not at that point in my career yet.
Yeah.
But especially at the inside linebacker spots. I mean, you've got Courtney Love, who played at Nebraska as a redshirt freshman, but was a backup and played mostly on special teams. I think he's got like 10 career tackles, and that's all of them. Jordan Jones played a little bit last year at weak side linebacker, mostly in that very first game against Louisiana Lafayette when they put him on the field when they were up big, and he played a real important role in Louisiana Lafayette coming back in that game and making it as close as it did. I can remember one wheel route that he definitely got blown by on that they had for a touchdown.
He's a freshman, though.
He was a freshman, a true freshman, playing his first career game. Did not play a ton on defense after that. Was injured, banged up a little bit. But those are going to be your two starters. And then behind those two guys right now, it's Cash Daniel, who's clearly a true freshman. Danilo Laster, whether he plays inside or outside, he's going to play somewhere in the linebackers. The Minnesota transfer, who also mostly played as a backup in special teams in one year at Minnesota, does not have a ton of production to his name. And then you're looking at Eli Brown as a redshirt freshman coming off a redshirt, former four-star recruit. Was a little banged up during his redshirt year. Used that year to get healthy. And Nico's going to be right there in the mix. The problem for Nico is he missed all of spring practice, missed part of the second half of last season after he had surgery on actually both of his shoulders.
Yeah. So
that's not a good start. But he's a guy that they were high on for a while, especially last year. I think he basically entered the season as Josh Forrest's main backup. If Courtney Love turns out to be the player they think he is from all indications, I don't know if any of the young middle linebackers will play a ton of that position just based on their track record. Avery Williamson played almost every snap at middle linebacker this season here. Josh Forrest played almost every snap at that position the last 2 years. So if they have a guy there they're comfortable with, I think they'll just let him run. But you hope that you could develop a little bit of depth, whether it's Nico or whether it's Cash or Eli Brown or one of the other guys behind them.
Eli Brown doesn't seem like he has the size to even play that position.
Yeah, I mean,
reminds you of Marlon McCree, maybe.
Yeah, I think he's going to be at the weak side spot, which is their other inside linebacker position in the 3-4 behind Jordan Jones, who's also a really small guy. Just looking at him, you don't think SEC linebacker, but if you're picking spring standouts just based on coaches' comments, because we don't get to see a ton of practice. I think we saw one practice in the spring game.
Yeah.
Jordan Jones is one of the two or three names that comes first. I think every single time somebody was asked for who's a guy who's impressing you on defense, Jordan Jones' name came up. They really like him. His attitude and his enthusiasm, his energy, I think that's something they're really excited about to go with his actual talent. So if you're looking for breakout players on defense this fall, Jordan Jones is a guy I'd look to. But you got to worry about him staying healthy at that frame in the SEC at linebacker.
I can remember DJ Elliott telling me, not this past spring, but the previous spring, because I guess Jordan Jones would have been a gray shirt.
He was one of those early enrollees.
Spring. Or not a gray shirt, but early enrollee. Yep. And he wasn't even on the radar. And I was doing, I'm not going to say who it was, but I was doing a story on someone else, and DJ Elliott kind of steered me another direction just to let me know, hey, it's fine if you want to do a story on this guy, but a guy that I'm really impressed with is Jordan Jones. And this was Jordan Jones as, a high schooler just, showing up at the spring practice early, kind of the way Cash Daniel has. Josh Allen's another guy that... Yep.
At the outside backer spot, for sure. He played a little bit last year. I mean, I think there are a couple guys you can look at, and if they had it to do over again and knew how the season was going to play out, maybe Josh Allen redshirts last year and gets to spend some time in the in the weight room and getting some, because I mean he's a guy who looks like you can see the projection there in terms of just how tall he is and muscular and see like this guy can develop into a really good outside linebacker, but he needs to put on a ton of weight before he's going to get to that spot. And then Kenjerry Daniel too, who was that outside linebacker, and I think they finally settled on him being a defensive end now. Those two guys barely played at all last year on defense as true freshmen, and I wonder if they had it over to do again, if both those guys would have redshirted, especially Kenjerry, because Allen at least had a role on special teams. I don't think Kenjerry Daniel got a whole lot out of that year playing last year, but those are two guys who are going to need to step up with the pass rush being as bad as it was last season, and Denzel Ware being the only real threat coming back to get to the quarterback in the backfield. Those are guys who are going to have to step up and rush the passer and get some sacks, and hopefully for their sake not have the problem as last year when you get in the backfield and can't bring them down. That's the number one concern too.
Now, one of the differences in those guys is Kenjerry Daniel actually looks like a defensive end in the SEC. Yep. He is a big old dude and just got his head on right, it seems like, when you talk to him. Very well-spoken and thoughtful.
For a while he talked about being an engineering major. He seems like a really, really smart kid when you talk to him. So he's a guy that I'm sure is going to be able to put in most of that stuff off the field that you really concern with a young kid coming in and playing right away. Plans a major in biosystems engineering, according to his UK bio. So.
And to me, anytime, here's the thing that I think of that separates some of the best athletes, and not always, but when you're very intelligent, because, of course, when you get physically tired, you're mentally tired. It's harder to think and do the right things. And when you're talking about technique and stuff like that, they try to get them in to do the technique so much with repetition that it becomes second nature, that it's instinct, that you don't break down technically, that you always step with the right foot no matter how tired you are. But when you're a little bit smarter, I think it helps when you're physically worn out. I just always believe that. I mean, you're just Darwinism. When you're smarter and physically talented, you got a better chance than somebody who's just physically talented. But we're going to take a break here. If you want to get in any of these football names, 381-1313, the Ghost and Mr. Cobble. Like, you remember the Ghost and Mr. Chickle, Mr. Chicken? You could go a bunch of different ways when you got the name Mr., like kidnapping Mr. Cobble. We were just talking about this guy, the Book of Eli Brown. Or Will Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, I like that one.
Saving Private Ryan Tidlatchka. Of course, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Patrick Tolles. All right, I'm going to leave with this one before, and we'll wrap them up here in this next segment. But the Big Mossikowski. Which you could have done Saving Private Ryan Mossikowski. You could have done that one too. But the Big Mossikowski, that's a little bit better. As I said, 381-1313 is the number to call to get in here. John Hale sitting in from the Louisville Courier-Journal, sitting in for Mary Jo, who is on vacation here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. We'll be back after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem, we can fix that.
No matter if your vehicle is personal or business, Fleet Doc will take care of it with a 24-month nationwide guarantee on all parts and labor as a TechNet professional member. Even complimentary roadside assistance is available should you break down. Fleet Doc has everything to be your trusted vehicle doctor.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bingo, bingo!
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
Summer is finally here at Aurora. Complete your outdoor room with savings up to 60% off hundreds of in-stock patio collections from top-of-line brands. Plus, get 30% off select outdoor accessories. Summer is here. Get your backyard ready for summer fun and hurry into Aurora today. Call 299-2932. Summer is finally here at Aurora. Get your backyard ready for family fun with a 24-foot above-ground pool package for only $19.95. Don't forget they offer free professional water testing in-store. Summer is here. Get your backyard ready and hurry into Aurora today. Call 299-2932.
Schwab's Pipes and Stuff. It's where to go when your day's been rough.
We're family-owned since 1977. Come and enjoy our smoking lounge and patio on Southland Drive.
Hey, our cigars are great and our blends are the bomb. It's time for you to get your smoke on. So head on down to a place you're sure to love. Talking about Schwab's Pipes and Stuff.
For a little Southern hospitality, it's something fun, jewelry and gift boutique. Because every girl deserves something fun. Accessories and apparel, gifts for your home, plus gifts for tweens, baby, and special one-of-a-kind wedding gifts. At Something Fun, once you come in, you're family. We specialize in helping you find that perfect gift. Stop in for Something Fun. We're just off Richmond Road in Pageant Village behind Rite Aid in Lexington. And online at somethingfunlexington.com. And like us on Facebook. Something Fun, Jewelry and Gift Boutique. Because every girl deserves something fun.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns that make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Such good stuff. In this song, let's see if this is the... Turn it back up here. It's Kentucky Headhunters. Now... When they go to the place to eat, the restaurant, pay attention to what he says when he makes the order. He says something about the waitress. Is it... Now, here comes the chorus again. Which, they're from, what, Greensburg? Is that right? Greensburg, Kentucky? Yeah. Which is where they make Ski, the drink that they're talking about. A bottle of Ski, which is kind of like the Mountain Dew. You thought L81 was the only drink we have. You know, that Kentucky makes as far as a soft drink. We have Ski. Have you ever had Ski? John, have you had Ski?
I have not, but I remember at a summer program in high school, my roommate was from Western Kentucky, and he had a whole 12-pack of it. And the first time I'd ever seen it, and I did not know how to take that. But I don't drink soda at all anymore. But if I were, I'd be L81 over Ski all day.
Yeah, L81. I'll take that over Ski as well. But there's Ski... And squirt, and oh, go right here. He don't need a pad. He's got a photogenic mind. Does photogenic mean that you can remember everything? No, it does not.
Yeah, I think it's actually photographic.
It is photographic. How about that? Kentucky Headhunters lyric, completely inaccurate. Don't need a pad. He's got a photogenic mind.
It rhymes better.
Yeah. I guess his mind is something that photographs very well. Oh, is that right? We're doing football name or movies using UK football names. Sweet Pea burns after reading. Joe Mansoor versus the Volcano. Sleeping with the Adeyemi. If you remember Eric Adeyemi. So I brought this up to somebody.
You would have to be a really hardcore football fan to remember Eric Adeyemi.
Right. Yeah, because I bring that up, and I had brought it up to somebody, and they're like, who? I'm like, Eric Adeyemi. You remember him? Receiver? There's the great Grigsby. DeQuinn Evans Almighty. All right, here are the last two that I have, and I will leave you alone with it after this. George Asafo with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Or Javis and Butthead Do America. Javis Blue. Is Javis Blue still with a team? Do you have any idea?
He was on the Packers practice squad for a while. I think he even actually was on the active roster a few games. I do not know, though.
So he'll be back, you would
think. I'm sure he'll be in a camp somewhere.
Yeah, he'll be in camp. Yeah. All right, before we go today, we're going to jump in here on the latest thing that has happened with Rio de Janeiro, because they're going to have the Olympics. It starts in 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, the Olympics begin. Just this week, the World Anti-Doping Agency suspended accreditation of Brazilian Doping Control Lab. 6 weeks ahead of the Olympics, So they're not going to be able to test urine or blood samples. It's the second time in 3 years that this lab has lost its accreditation. There's not another one of these labs anywhere nearby. I mean, you have to have the accreditation of the World Anti-Doping Agency. But wasn't it like in Russia they broke through and like stole the samples or did something, tainted the... So this is a big deal if you're talking about, you know, doping. So how are they going to test it? They're not going to be able to test it. They said they're going to work with them and try to figure out something. All right, that's the latest issue. In April, a $12 million seaside bike path collapsed, killed two people, injured three others. It was the very day that the Olympic torch was lit in Greece. I mean, you're talking, it's a beautiful looking thing that they're trying to build. They're spending billions of dollars on infrastructure and trying to, you know, build up Rio to make it nice. And there's this bike path all along the sea and up against the set of the mountains. And it's awesome, but it's not awesome when it collapses and kills people. All right, Rio's Guanabara Bay, however you say that. But you've heard this. I mean, the Olympic sailing competition is going to be held in a polluted bay. Sewage runoff, trash. The government has, this is no joke, they've given up on trying to clean it up. They promised they would. They ran out of money. They just can't clean it up. They're incapable of cleaning it up. They don't have the money to because they've spent so much money on everything. And already they've had to cut about $500 million from the Olympic budget. Last week, the governor of state of Rio acknowledged it's bankrupt. Bankrupt. Won't be able to honor its commitment to the Olympics without help. So there was an $850 million federal loan from a country that is in financial ruin right now. There's a huge corruption scandal at the Brazilian oil company Petrobras, involving high-ranking politicians, the Brazilian president, Dilma Rousseff, being impeached, her predecessor is under investigation, the Brazilian economy, GDP has dropped 3.8% in the last year. Teachers and police, their paychecks have been delayed. Inflation is up. Crime is up. A few days ago, this is in Rio. This is Rio's largest public hospital. Armed men attacked the hospital, freed a drug pen. This is where the Olympics are going to take place. Oh, by the way, Zika. What conditions could be better for a worldwide epidemic? Like, if you were going to spread something to kill the world, how would you do it? Maybe the Olympics? Where representatives from every country in the world all gather in one place and then return to where they came from? I don't know. I know, John, we were talking off air that, yeah, every Olympics has its issues. I can't imagine any Olympics having this many issues. The number is, it's everything. It is absolutely everything. You just about can't name something that there isn't an issue with in Rio. I don't blame LeBron James one bit for staying away from it.
Yeah, and he's not the only athlete that's not going to go there for whatever concerns, especially with Zika and some of those things. It's especially a concern for female athletes. It seems like there's always something. I mean, this obviously has taken it to a new level, and you got to wonder, I mean, until we get serious reform in terms of the Olympic Selection Committee and even other bodies like FIFA and where they're sending World Cups into places that just don't appear, you know, physically possible to actually host these events, if it's ever going to change. I mean, I'll be honest, I love the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where you just have to kind of close your eyes and watch the events. And if you think too much about all the other stuff that's going along, it really takes away from the event. And it's going to be a significant issue, and especially I'm sure NBC, when they broadcast, is going to deal with all these issues that are going on in Rio because it's part of the story. They're going to have to address that stuff, and it's going to take away from the actual games and competitions and whatnot. If you're looking into more of this, to put in a little plug for a friend here, my friend Travis Waldron, @Travis_Waldron on Twitter, works for the Huffington Post and does a ton of reporting on Olympics and FIFA and kind of corruption in those situations. It's a great follow if you're looking in for more of this stuff. But it's going to be... interesting to watch. You just got to cross your fingers and hope nothing too serious comes out of it this in a month and a half now.
The broadcast, to me, this is what it reminds me of. You've seen the movie Private Parts with Howard Stern, where he's a disc jockey, and this his boss comes in and says, the weather, the time, every 15 minutes. I don't care. You got to do it, Howard. Howard says, my grandmother died last night. Oh, by the way, the temperature is 70 degrees at 10:56 Sunday morning on K-Rock or whatever, you know. That's what it's going to be like. Hey, this is a horrible situation. Here is, you know, the U.S. competing for a gold medal in this event. That's our take on the Olympics, or at least my take. John, thank you for being here this weekend. It was great. John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal sitting in for Mary Jo Perino this weekend. Tune back in next weekend to the Dan and Mary Jo Show, and thanks for listening to ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
I like this.